growing spiritually. If you'll turn your Bibles over just a little bit, you'll see in chapter 6 of Ephesians, a famous passage that we're familiar with. It has to do with the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. Cause us to stumble and to fall. And if we're not aware of that, we won't be able to stand. Spiritual growth are the things that help us stand when the devil is trying to thwart us. I like this picture of the British regiment in Africa during the days of imperialism standing against this massive Zulu charge, and the title of the painting is Taking Your Stand Against the Forces That Are Around Them. That's the image of the Christian warrior. And we've got to do some training so that we can actually stand. Did you know that in the U.S. Army, of course, we're familiar with, you know, somebody goes off to basic training. They have to do push-ups and, you know, run over the tires and swing over ponds and do lots of training. Some of you were even in that yourself. But, you know, there wasn't that much rigorous training in the U.S. Army until about 1899 or around the year 1900. And that's because the U.S. Army went off to fight in the Spanish-American War, and they found out that most of the soldiers died not because of a Spanish bullet, but because of a lack of training. They were not physically fit. And on top of that, the Army had sent them wool, long-sleeve coats to fight in the Caribbean during the summer, and that didn't help out. But it was also the fact that they weren't physically fit. And so they redid the training manual to include intensive physical training that you're familiar with today. Because they realize you can't win a battle if your soldiers are out of shape. And we are Christian soldiers fighting a spiritual battle, and we must be spiritually conditioned to meet the enemy when he attacks. The Word of God in our heart, closeness to God, our attitudes molded by Christ, yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit, having our minds transformed. These are the things that must happen so that we can be stand. And you know, you can tell when you're not conditioned. Usually it's when you fail a test. You know, on the Mexico trip, I don't know who came up with this rule, but we played bowling. And they had a rule that if anybody else got a strike or got a spare, the other guys had to do push-ups. And, you know, I thought, well, this is interesting. I can do that. Until we got to like 150, you know, and then I realized, you're out of shape, Williamson. Okay? And because Kyle is still doing push-ups and I'm, you know, not doing push-ups. I had to do the girl push-ups, you know, toward the end. I'm sad to say. But that's when you realize you're weak and you need to get training. Maybe some of you failed a test this week. Those words came out of your mouth that you did not want to come out of your mouth. Maybe it's because you're not conditioning your speech. Maybe you reacted in a particular way at work and you blew up and you just, and you're like, oh man, they know I'm a Christian. Maybe it's because you're not training. You've stopped for whatever reason, not conditioning. We should not be surprised when those things happen, those failures happen, if we're not growing. We need to grow as Christians. But how does that actually happen? How do I grow spiritually? I like this guy. He kind of inspires me in some ways, right? How do I grow spiritually? Well, the first thing we got to realize, it doesn't happen by accident. You don't wake up one day and be a great golfer. You don't wake up one day and hit home runs like, well, I don't know. It's hard to name some of these guys now because they all took steroids, you know. But anyway, we don't hit home runs like Babe Ruth, okay? You have to train. You have to practice. You have to work at it. And some Christians, unfortunately, think that they can grow without working at it, and that's not true. And if you want proof of that, think about the example of Timothy. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy. Been wrestling with 1 Timothy lately. And in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy some things about training. And I started thinking about it. Who is this Timothy? Well, there are prophecies that have been made about this young man, about how great he's going to be as a religious leader. That's pretty neat. He's been raised by a Christian mother and a Christian grandmother from the days he was very young. And he knows the scriptures we know from other parts of 1 Timothy. He's traveled around with Paul all over mission. He's seen miraculous things done. And now he's a minister in this little town of Ephesus. But Paul still tells him, train yourself to be godly. If there's anybody that should have kind of arrived and been pretty strong, I think it would have been Timothy, but he spends a whole chapter saying, be strong, train yourself. I love this passage. He says, rather train yourself to be godly. Verse 7. For physical training is of some value. It's good to go to the gym for your physical body, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. He tells Timothy, you need to be trained. And you know what's interesting? He uses the word in the Greek language that we get our word gymnasium from. It literally means to train naked. Okay? And I don't want us to take that too far, you know, in terms of naked training. But that's the way the Greeks did it, you know. They'd run all around. And this word literally means to train naked. And that somebody was seriously preparing for the Olympics or to go against Sparta or go against Corinth or whatever. You trained serious. You were diligent about it. And he uses this word to encourage Timothy to go train. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident, brothers and sisters. There is no magic pill. There's no quick fix. It takes work. Hard work. And we need to be diligent about it. Just like Paul told Timothy to be diligent in verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. We need to be diligent about our spiritual growth. What areas do we need to grow in? I'll wrap this up here real quick. What areas do we need to grow in? It's one thing to say you need to grow, but somebody might say, well, what areas? You know, when you go to the gym, you could do pecs, you could do legs, you could do thighs, you could do abs, you know. There's all kinds of areas that you could focus on. You could do cardio, you could do aerobic, you could do whatever, right? Maybe stretching routines. What exactly do we need to focus on? Well, I see a principle here in 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16 that might give us an idea of the things we should focus on. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. There are two areas that every Christian needs to be working on. There are other areas that may be helpful to you, but these two are critical: life and doctrine. We'll start with doctrine. This is the knowledge of the faith. This is that teaching that you have received from Scripture. The things that are central. Maybe it's some of those things that we talked about in the last 8 weeks. Those are central things, like the resurrection, like the atonement, an understanding of the Bible and its nature and its revelatory nature toward us, that we submit to God. It might be those kinds of things that we're learning and we're growing in. Maybe we might call that mind knowledge. And that's good. It's essential. In fact, that we are in a day and age, some have said we're in a post-theological society, a post-theological Christianity, where people don't want to do much doctrinal study anymore. They just kind of want to do daily living stuff. And I think that's an overcorrection. We need to be thinking carefully about doctrine. Paul says to Timothy, watch out, don't get involved with myths and mindless genealogies and this kind of sideshow thing, but focus on good doctrine. We need to have a good, solid Christian worldview. Especially in a world that is increasingly non-Christian, we have to be diligent to make sure that we're thinking Christianly about the world around us. You know, you might think about the fact that you are in this world around you, you're in this physical body, you are going to think physically and materially unless you're doing something specific about that to change the way that you think. We know this from research. There's a group called the Nehemiah Institute. If you're interested, go online and look at the research that they've done, that even among Christian people, there is a thoroughly secular worldview in many churches. And that's because we're not being transformed by the renewing of our mind very well. You see, because if we don't intentionally focus on the things of God and train ourselves, we will fall into a secular mindset. It's like when you go to print on your computer, you have one of those printers in your office that's set as the default. If you don't specifically change it to the other printer you want, it will go to that one. And we have a default in us to think worldly and fleshly because we're still in this flesh, and we've got to specifically focus on the things of the Spirit. and change the printer, so to speak. Or maybe it's like you when you've driven home from work for 20 years and you've gone the same way. If you don't watch out when you get in, it goes on autopilot, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And then you find out, wait a minute, I'm pulling into home and I meant to go to Home Depot. You know? You've got to specifically do something different. Otherwise, we'll have a worldly mindset. But the other thing is life or conduct. He tells him, watch your life and your doctrine. Godliness is used throughout 1 Timothy to describe what Paul is encouraging Timothy to grow in. And godliness has to do with the everyday things of life. The way that you act at the grocery store and at the bank. The way that you act with people when you interact on the little things of life. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, and in purity. I think this may capture some of those things that Paul is talking about. Maybe we'll just focus on one in the interest of time. Speech. Jesus says that your speech tells a lot about what's in your heart. What you say has a lot to say about what's in you. And if we as Christians would simply work on that one thing of watching what comes out of our mouth, and I'm not just talking about cussing. Okay, that's bad too. We don't want to do that. But there's a lot more that comes out of our mouth that could be dangerous. Maybe it's put-downs. Maybe it's sarcasm that hurts. Maybe it's many jokes that are made, and you're really not just joking. You're actually saying something about somebody through that. Maybe it's gossip. And I don't think I need to explain how hurtful that can be. Paul tells Timothy, watch your speech. Watch your speech. Brothers and sisters, there's many other things that we could talk about that we need to work on and grow in as Christians in our life. But the point is that growing into the image of God is what the goal is of the Christian life. After our conversion, after our baptism, after that initial moment, we need to continually progress. And that's why I like the word here that Paul uses. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. It's not about perfection. It's about progressing toward the image of Christ. Until one day, we're going to look like Him. You know, when you go to that family reunion, and Aunt Gertrude says, you know, Sonny, you look a lot like your dad. You look more and more like your dad every year at reunion. That's what we want. Son, you look a whole lot more like my son Jesus every year. You're making progress. That's what we're looking for. And that's what the spiritual disciplines should be doing in our lives. How is all this going to happen? It's not going to happen by accident. It takes some serious attention. And in the next 3 months, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons on some of these spiritual disciplines. And some of these are things that you're familiar with. Prayer, you know, lots of people are familiar with prayer. Just like when you go to the gym, you're familiar with the Stairmaster, okay? But some of the stuff you're like, I don't know about that. That's like Bowflex or something. Never done that before. That's okay. Try something that you've never done. If you've never fasted, fair enough. Give it a try. See if what I say resonates and it's something you can try. Bring it alongside the other things you're familiar with to grow spiritually. These are not things that I'm kind of pulling out of nowhere. They come out of Scripture. And they come out of the Christian tradition that people have said, these are the things that help you look like Jesus. We'll talk about singing. We'll talk about prayer. About the discipline of gathering together with other Christians. We'll talk about meditation. Very different than Eastern meditation. Christian meditation is something much more powerful. We'll talk about fasting. And lastly, we'll talk about study. As we go through this series, I pray that you will be diligent in these matters and give yourself wholly to them. Let's conclude with prayer. Father, we do want to grow nearer to your heart. We do want to be more like your son, Jesus. We want to look like him and act like him and talk like him. But Lord, we live in this body and in this world, and it continually draws us away from you and your ways. And we pray that you will help us. We know that it is your desire that we look and act like Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will give us strength of will and that you'll give us the desire. I pray for those that are struggling and hurting today, that you will come near to them and be a rock and a fortress for them in their life right now. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.